Leviticus chapter 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I would like to say good morning to you and welcome to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we'd love to take this opportunity to invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. If you do not have a church home, we'd love for you to come and be with us. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting coming up tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And we have a little prayer meeting, Bible study. And then on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Sunday school for all ages, 11 a.m. worship service. And then on second and fourth Sunday nights, we have a preaching service. And last Sunday night, one of our young preachers at church took the service and preached for us, Brother Bradley Swift, and he did a fine job. And we have three young men in the church that God has called into the ministry in one form or another. And we try to give them the opportunity as much as possible to exercise the gift which God has given unto them. And so how do you know until you practice, or how do you get better unless you practice, unless you do it? And so the ministry is just like anything else. But anyway, it's good to be here today, and I'd like to say good morning to Noah. He's over there and working the dials. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here this morning.
Good. You were busy there and pushing buttons, and I didn't know if I caught you off guard or not.
No. We want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, those right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, North Carolina, and those who are listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate our listeners. I talked last night, I went to Midway Baptist Church, Pastor Greg Thompson, and several people. They were having a special meeting. In fact, it's going on tonight as well. Brother Buster Mullins is down there preaching Monday through Wednesday night at Midway at 7 p.m. And talked to several people last night that came up and said how much they appreciated and enjoyed the radio broadcast. So there's more people than you realize listens, and we do appreciate our listeners. I want to make just a quick announcement before I get started today, and that is at Mount Lebanon, we're having revival services coming up March the 18th through the 21st. That's March 18th through the 21st. We're going to start on Sunday morning and go through Wednesday night, and evangelist Dr. Benny Carper is going to be with us. He is on the Bright Spot Hour. Some of you may even remember several years ago, Dr. Harold Seitler, he had the Bright Spot Hour. Well, Dr. Carper is his grandson, and he continued on with the ministry there. And so Brother Carper is going to be with us beginning Sunday morning, March 18th through Wednesday night the 21st. If you'd like to find out more information, you can call the church phone number 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596, and Noah will give that number again at the end of the radio broadcast. But on that Sunday night at 6, the Norris family is going to be with us, and so we're looking forward to that as well. These past few weeks, we've been looking here on the Blessings of Liberty at the subject of the importance of the Constitution of the United States of America, and how important that is. I wanted to begin today by reading from the preamble to the Constitution, and it says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." And that's where we get the title to the radio broadcast, is right out of the preamble to the Constitution, Blessings of Liberty. And so in order to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution. And so that's where we get the title to the radio broadcast. But one thing I notice about our founding fathers, our forefathers, they were willing to sacrifice for what they believed in. Now, I want to read the last paragraph to the Declaration of Independence as well. Some of these same men involved, many of these same men involved, but they were willing to sacrifice their prosperity for their posterity. And let me say that again. They were willing to sacrifice their prosperity for their posterity. They were willing to sacrifice financially. They put their money where their mouth was, for the sake of their posterity. It says in the preamble to the Constitution, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That means their children and their children's children and right on down the line, their posterity, their descendants. They were willing to sacrifice their prosperity for their children. It said in the last paragraph in the Declaration of Independence, it says, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world," that's God they're talking about, the God of the Bible, Jehovah God, "appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved." And they go on down and they say in the last sentence there, it says, "And for the support of this declaration, and with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." And so they said, we pledge our lives, our fortunes. That was their prosperity. They were willing to lay it all on the line so that their children and their children's children could have a free America. And so what a great example our founding forefathers give to us, that they would sacrifice their fortunes, their prosperity for their posterity. Now today we have the exact opposite for the most part. Now I realize this is not all, but for the most part we have a ideology, we have a generation of politicians that are very willing to sacrifice their posterity for their prosperity. They're willing to sacrifice their children and their children's children and their great-grandchildren so that they can have a little bit in the here and the now. A totally opposite way that we look at things. Most of your politicians, many of them that are in places of power, they don't really seem to be very concerned about this huge over debt that to me seems to be unovercomable. Is that even a word? I just made that up, but I mean, it's just so huge that how are we ever going to overcome this? Let's just put it off on her children and her children's children and her great-grandchildren and right on down the line. And so America is important. We've been talking about the importance of the Constitution and getting back to the Constitution. And what I want to do today, I want to read from Proverbs chapter number 28. Now, most of you know that I have for some time now and for years in the ministry, I have exhorted people to read a chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and that is a chapter for every day of the month. Now, of course, this month there's 29 days, 29 chapters, but you'll never have 32 days in a month. So you'll always have enough chapters for every day of the month and sometimes some to spare. But I was praying about what the Lord had had me to talk about today and look at today, and I had several different ideas that I was praying about. But this morning, I got up and I read Proverbs chapter number 28. Today's 28th of February, so I read chapter number 28. And as I began to read Proverbs chapter number 28, it just dawned on me that Proverbs chapter number 28 could be titled The Wise Man's Voting Guide. The Wise Man's Voting Guide. As I look through chapter number 28 this morning, there are 28 verses in Proverbs chapter number 28. There are at least 30 different principles that could be applied to present day government in Proverbs chapter number 28. Now, what I'm saying is Proverbs chapter number 28 has a lot to say about the government. I know how people are. They say, well, politics and religion don't mix. If you take every instance in the Bible that a prince, a leader, a governmental authority, those that are in authority, if you took every reference out of the Bible, kings and princes and places like this that it talks about, those in authority, that it talks about government, you're going to be cutting a lot out of the Bible. It is important. The United States of America standing is important. If the United States of America falls, then, America is the light of the world when it comes to democracy and freedom. And if America falls, the greatest nation in the world falls. And the freedoms of many people and the light that they look to and the hope that they have, they look to America. So America is important. And I just want to read a few verses and bring out some things today. I won't be able to go through all of these by any means, but just quickly. The Bible says in verse 1, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." That reminds me of our founding forefathers and the signers of the Declaration of Independence. They were bold as a lion. They had it when they said, "We pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." They were really putting it all on the line. They had to be bold as a lion in order to do that. They had to go against the grain. They had to go against the example of human history when they stepped out by faith and said, "America is an independent, separate colony, and we are absolving all allegiance and political ties to Great Britain." They literally did put their lives on the line, and many of them did suffer. They lost their lands. They lost their fortunes. Many of them lost members of their family in the American Revolutionary War, but they were bold in doing this because they were on the side of right. Doing right and being on the side of righteousness creates boldness. We need some leaders in this day and time that will be bold for the cause of right. We really have a lack of that in our day and time. I did find one encouraging example last week in the news. It came out, and I'm going to read from the Winston-Salem Journal. This was last Wednesday, February the 22nd. And on the front page, there's an article there that says, "Rowan Board Plans to Flout Prayer Ruling." And it said, "Large crowds turn out to support decision to ignore ACLU letter." And it said, the Associated Press from Salisbury, it said, "Commissioners in Rowan County plan to continue offering Christian prayers at public meetings despite a letter from a civil liberties group citing a recent Supreme Court action upholding a federal court's ban on the practice. A huge crowd turned out for the Rowan Board of Commissioners meeting Monday night to offer their support to the elected officials who say they'll defy a decision by the U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. I really like that. They said they will defy that court decision. Said striking down sectarian prayer in Forsyth County, or prayer that's explicitly linked to a particular religion such as Christianity. Now, the Forsyth County commissioners, they had a open invitation for religious leaders in their community to come and offer up a prayer before the county commissioners met to conduct county business. And so what caused the controversy here is that in Forsyth County, the great majority of your people are Christians. So when the religious leaders in the community, and it was open for anybody to come and pray, when they would come and pray, the ones that wanted to, of course, them being Christian, they would pray in Jesus' name. But they didn't exclude anybody that wanted to come and pray to come and pray. But just the fact that they are a majority of Christians in that county, most of the prayers offered were offered in Jesus' name. Well, the federal government comes along and says you can't do that. And so now the ACLU, they've jumped on the bandwagon and they've sent out, it goes on down and it says that since that time, the American Civil Liberties Union has contacted 25 to 30 government bodies in North Carolina in response to complaints from residents about sectarian prayer. That's just prayer in Jesus' name. If you were in Dearborn, Michigan, and where there is a majority number of Muslims, you certainly wouldn't hear anybody up there objecting to them praying in Allah's name or opening up a meeting like that. But this is specifically designed as an attack upon Christian prayer or praying in Jesus' name. So I commend the leaders of Rowan County. One man said that he was willing to go to jail for this. Another man said that he was there in support because, let's see, if they tell county commissioners they can't pray, soon they're going to be in my church telling me I can't pray in the name of Jesus. Said Terry Brown, a county resident who came to the meeting. So cheers to some people in our day and time that will be righteous and that will be bold as a lion. So that's verse number one. That's usually not what you get. Politicians today, instead of putting their posterity at the forefront and their convictions and doing what's right, most of them just put money in their pockets and their mouth and their heart and their soul is for sale to the party line, to the special interest groups, to the donors that put them back in office and help fund their campaigns. Boldness for righteousness' sake many times today is sacrificed on the altar of being politically correct. So righteousness will make a person be bold. Verse number two, time will quickly get gone today. The Bible says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. Now, princes are leaders. What this is a picture of bureaucracy, which I talked about a few weeks ago. Bureaucracy, government by bureaucracy, is red tape, endless expansive government, getting buried in paperwork and different agencies, etc., etc. Do you know bureaucracy is the judgment of God upon an exceeding sinful nation? And that's what the Bible says right there. For the transgression of a land, for the sinfulness of a land, many are the princes thereof. John Adams said this, one of our founding forefathers. He said this about the Constitution. He said, our Constitution was made only for a religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. And as you see religion and morality attacked in the United States of America, as you see a decline of things which would come under the heading of righteousness, and you see a acceptance more so of wickedness in society, as goes our religion and our morality, so goes our liberty. As we get more wicked, we have more laws in the land to regulate us. You see, our nation was founded upon the concept that do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I know there's been exceptions to that, and I'm not saying that everything that has ever been done in America has been done right, but you did have this prevailing idea that we are equal in the sight of God, that we have a creator, and one day we will be judged by him. And so that religion caused people to be more moral than they would if they had no belief in God, and if they had no Bible principles to lead them and guide them. So it goes on and it says, for the transgression of land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. Now, it is a fact of history that all nations fall. If you know anything about world history, you know that world history is full of examples of nations, dynasties, emperors, pharaohs, monarchs, kings. I mean, right on and on and on. The rise and fall. All nations eventually fall. That is a fact of history, and ours may be too far gone. I don't know, but the Bible tells us this, that a man of understanding that has the backing of the people, and the people have an understanding, the state can be prolonged. That's what the Bible says. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. Do you know this is the day and time in which we're living in 2011, 2012, this is the first time ever in the history of America that our children, our posterity, do not have the prospect of a brighter future than the generation before them. You know, when I graduated from high school in 1987, along about those lines, that's when I graduated. But before I graduated, when I was in high school, we never worried about the possibility of getting out and getting a job. We never worried about, I mean, the sky was the limit. It was not what am I going to do, is what do you want to do? Do you want to go to college? You go to college, you get a degree, you get out, you get a good job, you have a good career, you retire. I mean, this was a career counseling back then. You want to join the military? Join the military. Have a career. Have retirement. You want to start a business? I mean, whatever. I mean, there was unlimited opportunities. But now I think about the young people, it is just a fact of life that they can go to college, spend thousands of dollars, get a degree, and have no prospect of a job, end up working in a fast food restaurant or working for far less. I mean, the prospect is not very bright. When we reject the word of God as a nation, then we're in trouble. But a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. Verse number 3 says, a poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. What you have there in verse number 3, you have a picture of democracy in action. Do you know what is happening in our country today has happened before in other countries? Julius Caesar conquered in this way. This is what he did. He went to the people and he told the people, he said, those evil rich aristocrats, they're the source of all of our problems. They've got all the money, they've got all the land, you're doing all the work, and if we could just get rid of those aristocrats, we could have a better country. And so that's what they set about to do, and there was an uprising and people followed Julius Caesar, and they got rid of those aristocrats. And the poor came into power. And you know what they did? The first thing, they raided the treasury. They spent all the money that the nation had. They ended up in such indebtedness that they could not get out of it because they were not used to having power. They were not used to having money. And so what they did, they bankrupted the nation. And whenever a nation is bankrupt, then what they have done, they have rolled out the red carpet for a dictator to come to power. The same thing happened in Nazi Germany. The same thing has happened in many other countries in the world. A group gets in and they raid the treasury. And verse number 3 says, a poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. And so we see there, we need to be leery of this group that comes in and raids the treasury and spends all the money and has no concept of what they are doing to the nation. This is happening in our nation. We are spending ourselves into oblivion, which we'll never get out of. We'll end up going bankrupt, and a dictator will rise to power in America if we already don't have one. We might already have one, and a lot of people just don't realize it. Verse number 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. Now, you could insert right there, they that forsake the Constitution, because the Constitution is the law of the land. But it says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. We see that there is a great deal of apologizing for our nation in this day and time. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. And my goodness, time's going to get gone. Verse 5, evil men understand not judgment. They that seek the Lord understand all things. A lot of people don't even understand what's going on in our nation. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. If you say that bureaucracy is a judgment of God, you will be scorned and ridiculed. I know people would not like that I have said that, but it, nevertheless, it's true. And we find the example in the Word of God. Those who, the Bible said, they that seek the Lord understand all things. I believe it's very plain what is going on in our nation. It's very easy to see, as that Bible phrase goes, the handwriting on the wall of what is going on in our nation. I'll never have time to get through all this. Verses 6 through 8 talks about unjust gain. It talks about usury by unjust gain. We see much of that. Verse number 11, I like this verse. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. Do you know we have a unique opportunity in America? Even though we might be poor, but we have an opportunity in America to go to the rich man, to go to the politician, to go all the way to the president, who might be wise in his own conceit, but the poor man can come along with understanding and search him out. If you study verse number 11, you'll find that that is the opportunity of the poor man to call on the carpet, so we say, the rich man in his conceit. Now, you can do that in a republic because we see ourselves as we the people. We're equal in the sight of God. You do that in a dictatorship and your head will roll from off your shoulders. So we have a unique opportunity. I'll close by saying this. You know, we don't need to be a nation of idiots. We should be a informed electorate that knows what is going on in our country, that knows more about ball games, that knows more about what is going on than we do ball games and all of this other stuff. Now, the word idiot comes from the Greek word. To be an idiot in the Greek society was a person that said this about the government: I don't want to be involved. I don't want to know what's going on. I can't do anything about it. They were referred to as idiots. That's where our word idiot comes from. Those in Greek society that said, I just don't want to know. I just don't care what goes on. in our nation. So we don't want to be a nation of idiots. We should be an informed electorate. And so read Proverbs chapter 28. You'll get a blessing out of it. Noah's going to give the contact information. Thanks for listening.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at www.mountlebanonbc.org.